Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. A lot of news on Iran and Iraq, the war, terror, another incident in Kuwait where our Marines have fired at civilians who were overtaking them. Our guys were in a Humvee, and none of our guys were wounded. So we don't have many details on that story. Maybe more later in the show. And the Kuwaitis who shot and killed a Marine yesterday and then were gunned down, they apparently had been trained in Afghanistan by Al-Qaeda. So that was an Al-Qaeda episode in Kuwait. And Oprah Winfrey, of all people, had a show today which was to convince doubters that Saddam Hussein is a murderer and a tyrant and he must be stopped. So Oprah Winfrey was on the right side of this issue. That's interesting. And there's information out that Saddam Hussein has been acquiring technology to build a long-range super gun. Now, I've read about such things over the years, but didn't know people were actually trying to do it, that he's trying to build a super gun that he could use, not a rocket or a missile, but a long-range super gun capable of firing weapons, including nuclear, biological, or chemical weapons, long distances. So that's some of the news that we'd like to cover on tonight's show. But first, I've got a couple thoughts I wanted to bring by you about our caller from Monday night. It was a guy who called up from Michigan to defend the Mennonite pacifist worldview. You remember that guy. And we invited him to call back Wednesday night, or we'd call him, and he wasn't sure, and he thought he really didn't get a fair shake because he didn't get to make any of his points. And so, you know, I understand if he doesn't want to come back on for that reason. But I wanted to do a little debrief of that conversation and start out looking at the Mennonite pacifist Christian worldview in general. And then we'll get to some of this war news. So our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836-9278. Okay, in general, Mennonites, pacifist Christians, liberal Christians, they have this belief that force is somehow not a godly thing, that force is not good, and that the good things are forgiveness and grace and mercy, non-judgmental attitudes, and that's it. And it stops there. And nothing beyond that is good. As a Christian, you have to be loving, kind, sweet, forgiving, tolerant, patient, and that's it. And there's no room for the opposites of all of those characteristics. So if you have to be forgiving as a Christian, there's no room for being unforgiving. So if you're not forgiving of someone, you're sinning. That seems to be their perspective. And that you can't judge. Well, I think our Mennonite friend was judging me that night. But generally, they tend to believe that you're not supposed to judge. And they don't like wrath and vengeance. And they begrudgingly admit that God says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." But then they seem to think that vengeance is somehow a negative, that somehow vengeance is bad. And if a Christian desires vengeance, then there's something wrong with him. He's sinning. And how could it be a sin if God is a God of vengeance? The New Testament tells us that God is a God of vengeance, and that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So I'd like to talk about some of those issues, all right? And before we do, we'll go to the phones, 1-800-836-9278. 9278. Now, where is this? Tyner, Indiana, is that right?
Yes.
Tyner, and your name is Geralon?
Yeah.
All right, Geralon, go right ahead.
I had my dad sign a consent form today because I'm in a child development class at my school, my high school. I'm a senior.
Right.
And with our child development class, we have to do a project called Baby Think It Over.
Yeah.
And he wanted to know what your thoughts on that were.
You're a senior?
Yes.
I'd encourage you to drop out.
Of the class?
Of the school. Geralon, you're going to a public school?
Yes, I am.
Well, you're a senior, so you're virtually an adult. But we, here at Bob and Yurt Live, for 10 years, we've encouraged parents not to send their kids to schools that have a godless curriculum. Because we've seen over and over and over for 10 years, neat Christian kids of godly families go to public schools and just devastating consequences. That's what we've seen over and over. It's not that every kid that goes to public school gets messed up. But, you know, a lot of them end up being sexually active, experimenting with drugs or alcohol, and flirting with ideas of abortion should be legal or things like that, or evolution might be true. So we're not fans of the public schools.
Yes, I know.
Well, what do you think? Do you think it's good for Christian kids to go to them?
I'm not real sure because I know going to a public school, I know that I see it every day. I mean, people get harassed constantly, and our high school,
yeah,
and our senior class, our freshman year, we were the biggest class at like 160 some.
All right.
We've lost 40 people since our freshman year due to pregnancies, the different various things.
Yeah. Geralon, I've said on this show for years that girls go into high school, public high school, and even middle schools, that they got to put up with a lot of sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
Is that at all true?
Yes, there's a lot of things like that going on in the high school.
And you know what? If let's say there's a woman who works for just any old business, and some guy makes a joke, an off-color joke, he could sue her, and the Department of Labor, the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, will take her side. It'll be a federal case, a federal affair, and she might get $50,000 in a severance pay because they made a joke about her body. But in the public schools, that's almost like part of the curriculum. It's completely accepted by the administrators of the schools.
Mm-hmm.
They apparently have no control over the kids and how they treat one another. We'll be right back. Listener-supported radio. That's what we've got right here at Bob and Yurt Live. And I want to thank those of you out there who appreciate the show enough to help us stay on the air. And I'd like to tell you, for those who are newer to the program, a couple of the things you could do if you'd like to see this show continue and to grow. You can call us up on our order line and order one of our monthly offerings. For example, we've got the monthly album for $34.95 a month. And if you give us a credit card number, we could process it automatically. And once a month, mail to you an audio tape album of our Bible studies. We start out, the first album is an overview of the whole Bible, and then we've got things like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the book of Revelation, how does it all end? Well, go back to Genesis, how did it all begin? The Garden of Eden, and oh, so much fun stuff. The flood, Exodus, the Gospels, the epistles of Paul. We got a lot of fun material. And God's criminal justice system, we have an album called Nicer Than God. One album on predestination and free will. You'll love it, or your money back, guaranteed. So give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-NYART. And you can order the monthly album for $34.95 or the monthly Bible studies for $24.95. You get four Bible study tapes mailed to you every month. Or you could make a monthly gift to Bob and Yurt Live if there's none of our materials that you necessarily need. Maybe you get everything you need off our website at KGOV.com. So if you'd like to help out, plus we have tons of videos and the manuscript, the plot. So give us a call, 888-8-N-Yurt. And for those listening on the internet, we get a little bit more time to chat. We get one more minute. So for you guys out there, we usually could take the time to tell you in a little bit more detail about some of the albums. But for example, we've got two albums on 1 Corinthians. And that's really fun because, well, Corinthians has a lot of the big topics like, well, speaking in tongues and healing and miracles, all that. And what else in Corinthians? There's the whole issue of judging and Judgment Day. And on Judgment Day, who's going to judge? Is it going to be? Who's it going to be? Who's going to judge on Judgment Day? God? Well, the Bible says he commits judgment to the hands of the saints, and we Christians will judge the world. That's cool. We're back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-N-Yurt with Gerilon from Indiana. Gerilon, so it really sounds like you're a sharp young woman, and you know you probably have a lot of wisdom for someone your age. And so I would rather not say, well, in your situation, I advise this or that, because I don't want to make it sound acceptable to others in the audience that, well, their kids could go to public school and they might turn out like Gerilon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Christian people that I know fall pretty hard.
Yeah, pretty hard is right. Some of the examples I remember, one woman called up Bob and Yurt Live in tears. This is a woman in Parker, Colorado, because she had her kids and she was watching the show and she heard all the bad things about public school. So she decided to take all her kids out of public school and either put them in Christian school or homeschooling. So she did that for 2 years, except her oldest daughter was such a strong Christian and such a neat young woman. And she said, Mom, please, you know, I know what's going on in the public schools, but I have my good friends. And why don't you take the other kids out and let me stay? I'm old enough. And so the parents said, well, okay. And the mom called 2 years later in tears to say that her daughter had just moved out to move in with her lesbian girlfriend. And that's not, you know, I don't think that's a surprising story. That's somewhat expected. And the Christian kids who, the girls of the best Christian churches in town who get pregnant and have abortions and experiment with bisexuality, it's all so devastating. So, Gerilon, even though you may turn out well, but I wouldn't want to use you to give other parents a false sense of security that their kids will turn out well.
Yeah, I understand that.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So let your dad know that I think you should drop out of school. You could either homeschool the rest of the year, go to a Christian school, or just get married.
I don't think he's quite too keen on the married thing, considering I just moved with him not even a year ago.
Okay, all right. But, yeah, that's what I would, if I had a daughter in your circumstance, I would say, honey, what would you think about not going to school anymore? Wouldn't that be fun? Tomorrow morning when it's time to wake up and go to school, let's just go out for pancakes. And I would try to tempt you into it. So, Gerilon, but tell the audience about that. What are they doing, the baby thing, to teach how hard it is to take care of a baby or what?
Well, at one of the courses that's elected at our school, it's a child development class.
Right.
And for 4 days, we have to take home an electronic baby.
Right. You have to take care of it just to teach the kids how hard it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, public school administrators are stupid. And they've had this program all over the country. They used to do it with an egg. You had to have an egg. Yeah. And if you broke the egg, then they said, oh, you broke the egg. You know, you still got an A, but you broke the egg. Anyway, now they got electronic babies. Mm-hmm. But the girls love it. And we've had a million young girls get pregnant in the last year. So obviously the egg electronic baby shtick doesn't work. It makes it more appealing.
Yeah, I'm just taking the class because I'm the youngest of five siblings.
Right.
And the only baby experience I've ever had is with little nieces and nephews and cousins.
Right.
And so I don't have any baby experience. And, you know, I'm a senior in high school. I'll probably be married in a few years.
Yeah, I would recommend living babies instead of electronic ones. And you could do some babysitting.
Yeah.
You could find a homeschool family who would be thrilled to have a teenager come by maybe once or twice a week and help out with the babies.
Well, I have a cousin who just had twin babies, a boy and a girl. They're 4 months old, the 28th.
Wow, that's great.
And they were over here the 25th for 'cause her and the guy she's actually dating, They're just dating. Oh. They went to Illinois to visit his family.
Yeah.
And my aunt said she'd babysit for them. So they were over here for like 3 days.
Right.
And I had to help two of my aunts with them.
Take care of the babies. Did you like it?
It wasn't too bad, but I wasn't home that much.
Oh, all right.
So I didn't get too much with them.
Now, this is your aunt or your cousin?
My cousin had the babies.
Your
My
cousin
aunt was
had
babysitting.
The, okay, your cousin had. Did your cousin go to public school?
They went. She went to a Christian school, a Catholic school when she was little.
All right.
And then they went to public schools the rest of the time, I do believe. They went in and out of Christian and public school.
Yeah, well, Catholic school. I grew up in Catholic school, parochial school, for 8 years. And we had virtually no morality taught us.
Yeah, I went to a Catholic school for 3 years.
Yeah, the Catholic school I went to, even in the 6th, 7th, and 8th grades, the sexual immorality was horrendous.
Mm-hmm. So, I only went there kindergarten through 3rd.
Yeah.
And then my parents separated, and
I'm sorry to hear
moved.
That.
But, that's why I'm now living with my dad.
All right. Well, Geraldine, tell your dad I said give you a vacation from school.
Sounds good to me.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
God bless you. See, that sounds good to me. You can get kids to do the right thing. Let's go to Las Vegas. Mike, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Wait a minute. I recognize this voice from... Wait, my computer memory banks are turning. I recognize this voice from Jerusalem.
Yeah, that's me.
Did I meet you in Jerusalem?
That's right. Well, we met on the plane to Jerusalem.
Oh, that's right. This is Mike
New
from,
York.
Mike from Las Vegas.
Yeah, how you doing, Bob?
Mike, I'm doing well.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I listen to you on the internet.
All right.
And I enjoy your show. And I've got some things about the war. I just wanted to run by you.
Yeah.
The war coming in Iraq.
Yeah.
And see, I want your opinion whether I'm being too trivial about these matters.
All right.
And if these are justified concerns.
All right.
The first thing I don't like about the war is the way they're selling it to the American public.
Mm.
They want to demonize Saddam by saying he has nuclear weapons and chemical weapons and stuff.
Well, so
but
do
we have the same thing.
Yeah, so do we.
And to me, it seems like Saddam is evil. He's an enemy of the West. He tried to kill Bush's father.
Right.
That's enough cause. Why do we have to continually talk about weapons?
Well, that's a good point. I think the reason they do it is because George W. Bush, our government, our society, they don't feel comfortable talking about right and wrong.
Right.
So they got to talk about something and sort of twist it out of proportion. He has nuclear, chemical, biological weapons. So do 100 other countries.
But don't they know that they can lose the argument if he proves he doesn't have these things?
Well, I think the evidence is overwhelming that he does.
Well, I agree, but let's say they got rid of it.
But
he would still be a bad guy.
Well, right, exactly. He should be destroyed.
Right.
if he didn't have any of those things.
Right.
But when someone is a criminal, and for example, I don't. Hey, Mike, please believe me when I tell you I don't watch Oprah Winfrey.
I think I could buy that.
But we were turning on the 4 o'clock news, and her show was on, and just passing by, Saddam's picture was on the screen. So we paused, and she had a couple experts on there, and one woman saying, apparently with a lot of authority and knowledge, saying that Saddam has gone so far as to when people defect, high-level defections, he's had their family members, wives and mothers, raped and in order to punish the defectors.
Yeah.
And to deter future defectors.
Sounds like his M.O.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, he's in meetings with his ministers, and he gets angry, and he pulls a gun, and he'll shoot one. He shot quite a few of them.
Okay, you got time for another thing, one?
Yeah.
Okay, now, if we're going to have a small government, I know you profess a small government, and I do too, with low taxes.
Yeah.
Now, this war needs to be paid for somehow, and it seems to me that if we're going to fight that war over there, we should either submit a bill to the country of Iraq after we liberate it,
yeah,
or plunder the nation. Are those wrong?
Well, submitting a bill, I prefer that.
Right, but
in other words, we tell them whatever it costs, we're going to take it in oil when this is
right.
over.
Whatever it costs us in treasure and then
could
and
you
blood
imagine
too.
How the liberals would take a fit over that, Mike?
But we have to pay for it.
I think we just take control of the oil fields in the South,
right?
Until we have exacted the financial cost,
right?
And then let them have them back.
And then a little bit for the life we lose too, the lives we lose.
Well, yeah.
I mean, we'd have to have something for that too.
Hopefully, there'll be very few lives. You know, we had 500,000 people over there a decade ago for the Gulf War,
right?
And
we got paid for that.
We got paid by, like, Saudi Arabia and Kuwait.
I mean, not Kuwait, right.
Yeah. Yeah, we got.
I think it was like $30 billion, wasn't it?
Yeah, we got paid pretty well for that.
Now that's,
and we did lose lives, but, you know, 500,000 American, you know, Marines and in Washington, D.C., we'd lose lives just Friday night bar hopping.
Okay, one more issue that seems to me that if we go over there and liberate the people of Iraq, it seems to me that if we then leave with a Muslim government, that those people who died have died in vain.
Mm. Well, you know, we don't have the ability to install a good government because our government is so thoroughly corrupt.
But if the men who died were fighting to install even our government, which is, you know, it's some, I would think, somewhat better, at least that's something. Not maybe our government, but at least a pro-American, pro-Christian regime?
Well, we may get a pro-Western regime. Look what we've got in Afghanistan.
If we don't. Let's say we don't.
Well,
that's
we may
terrible,
not. And
it?
Even if we do, it could change a year later.
Right.
So there's no guarantees in this world about anything. And I would expect we're going to kill Saddam Hussein and turn the reins of government over to opposition and other factions, and they'll put together some kind of a parliamentary, at least superficially democratic government, and the government will be a complete failure.
Right.
That's what's going to happen.
And it'll be Muslim, right?
Well, most likely.
Yeah.
And but at least we'll be able to comb the country and get rid of the weapons we don't like, and it will be a deterrent to other Arab and Islam governments.
Right.
So short-term gain.
Oh, one other thing.
Well, hold on. We'll be right back. Now, you see that? We get a call from Las Vegas, and I could recognize the guy's voice because he came to Israel with us. And that's the most fulfilling part of Bobbin Yurt Live is getting to know the people in the audience, getting to know you. So, hey, if you are passing through Denver, well, if you live in Colorado, for sure, you got to come visit us at Denver Bible Church. Otherwise, we'll hold a grudge. You got to come and visit us. We'd like to get to know you. If you live out of state, hey, you might be passing through Denver. Maybe just a layover at the airport. We're driving through to the West Coast or the East Coast or wherever. Come on by and visit us at Denver Bible Church. Let's go to Starbucks and have a cup of coffee. So that's that's really the joy of getting to know people. And it's hard, of course, to get to know a lot of people. How many people have I gotten to know well since we've been doing the show since 1991? I'd say about, 1,000 people? You can't possibly know 1,000 people well, but I feel like I do. You know, well enough to know them, remember them, and know what they're interested in, what their issues are. And we'd like to get to know you guys, whoever you are out there, your family. So again, if you live in the Denver area, come on out and visit us at Denver Bible Church Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. If you're out of the area, well then, you could be a part of what we do in different ways. The best way is to come visit sometime. But until then, give us a call and sign up for our monthly Bible studies. It's only $24.95 a month, and you get 4 Bible study tapes mailed to you every month. You help keep Bob and Yurt Live on the air and on the internet. And who knows, you might help us get into another city on the radio. And every time we get into another city, boy, it's a whole new opportunity to reach people. Notice I didn't say a whole nother. What's another? N-O-T-H-E-R. That, so many people say nother. A whole nother. It's a new opportunity to reach people. And that's our passion, to do that. But we can't self-fund this radio show. We need your help. So either, if you could, a monthly donation, or if you want to get something back and enjoy the monthly Bible study tapes, albums. NYART, that's 1-800-836-9278. So yeah, it's not against the law of God for a nation to have weapons of mass destruction, but when it's a murderer who's in charge of the nation and has complete control over those weapons, we then have the option, if we want to, we have the moral right to not live with that kind of threat.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say on the whole, nuclear weapons have been a blessing?
Hey, nuclear weapons have kept the world from war for 50 years.
Right, and the war that they stopped kept us from losing, 100,000 more men?
Right.
Maybe more?
Probably saved 1 million Japanese lives.
Right.
Right, exactly.
So the way I see nuclear weapons, I don't like them demonized the way the left does it. I guess the right jumps in, too.
Yeah, right, when it's politically appropriate, like right now.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it'd be fun to see a mediocre politician who's advocating the war because Saddam has nuclear weapons and then say, yeah, but so do we.
Right.
You know, how would he respond?
I appreciate you going over these things. I've been thinking about this for a while.
Well, thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call.
All right, and listen, one more thing. I'll put up the weather against Denver's weather. You mentioned Denver had the best weather.
Denver's got the best weather.
No, Las Vegas.
Well, come on.
But the thing about Las Vegas, it's an extremely evil place.
It is evil.
It's probably right behind New Orleans.
You know, they should call it Sin City.
I think I've heard that.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, but fortunately, I live far enough out of town where I can just see the lights.
Mike, we took our 3 little kids, aged 1, 2, and 4, to the park, Cheryl and I, for lunch yesterday. And the kids got to run through the leaves as they're falling. You know, you've heard the term fall, as in spring, summer, and fall. Now, you live in Las Vegas, so I know you don't know why we call it that.
Right.
It's because leaves on the trees turn yellow and gold, and then they fall off, and the kids get to play with them in the grass.
It is beautiful, but I don't have to rake them like you probably do.
That's true. That's true. Hey, Mike, we get snow about 2 or 3 times a year.
Hey, I want to know if you're going to come to Las Vegas again this year for the, what is it, the National Broadcast Association?
We're very possible. Very possible we'll go there.
Well, that'd be great to have you
here. Yeah, we usually when I travel to something like that, I try to bring my son, my mother, my wife. But my wife says it's too much work to travel with all our kids.
Right.
So, hey, we'd like to do that. And if we do, we'd definitely get together, all right?
Okay, great.
God bless you.
Thanks, Bob.
Bye, Mike. 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. So on the Mennonite issue, yeah, Mennonites, I think, are shocked to see a lot of the verses in the Bible that we talk about regularly. Like, for example, are you supposed to forgive everyone all the time? Well, Jesus said in Luke 17:3, he said, warning, Will Robinson, their Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. All right, Luke 17:3, Jesus said, if someone sins against you, forgive him. No, he didn't. He didn't say that. He said, if someone sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Now, I know that there are plenty of Mennonites and other liberal Christians who say, I don't give a rip what Jesus said. I'm going to forgive everyone. I don't give a rip. I don't care what Jesus said. That's the Mennonite position on that issue. And then on judging, when Jesus said, judge not, you hypocrite, first stop sinning like your neighbor, and then you can judge your neighbor. And when Jesus said in John 7:24, to judge, it's a command to judge with righteous judgment, that you're supposed to judge. The liberal Christians say, I don't give a rip what Jesus said. I'm not going to judge with righteous judgment. I'm not going to judge anybody. You know why? Because then they won't judge me, and I like that. Because if I want to get drunk once in a while or move in with my girlfriend, if I want to have an abortion for the sake of my career, I'd rather nobody judge me, so I'm not going to judge. I'm going to go with Hillary Clinton's favorite verse, judge not, and I'm going to put a period right there and ignore the rest of the paragraph. And if Jesus commanded us to judge with righteous judgment, I don't give a rip what he says. I'm not going to do it. That's the liberal Christian mentality. And such judging and forgiving. Did the Apostle Paul, did he forgive Alexander the coppersmith who had wronged him? No, he was furious at Alexander. The liberal Christians are saying, what's a coppersmith? He was furious. And he asked God to repay Alexander for the wrong that he had done against Paul. Did Paul forgive those who were misleading his converts in Galatia? He was furious, called them hypocrites. He said, they want to teach you to circumcise? Let them take a knife and kill themselves. He was enraged over those who would lead his converts astray. You know, in the book of Revelation, God's two witnesses, their enemies would come at them, and God gave them, empowered them to slay their enemies, to kill their enemies. David killed his enemies, and God said, he's a man after my own heart. Abraham! It's Abraham. God loves Abraham. In fact, he put up with the Jewish nation for 2,000 years because of how much he loved Abraham, the father of Israel. And Abraham's son, nephew Lot, was kidnapped, him and all his household and all their property stolen. And Abraham said, well, since I'm a Mennonite, I'm just going to pray about it. No, if he would have done that, he would have never ended up as the father of the house of Israel. He would have never ended up as the guy to whom God gave the covenant of grace. in Genesis 15, and then the covenant of circumcision in Genesis 17. Oh, and by the way, why did God give him two covenants? Well, you could check out the plot, read it in the manuscript or in the audio tape album, figure it out. It's fun. Now, Abraham picked up his sword, got 300 of his armed servants, and went out and paid some retribution to the criminals. And God loved it. God loved it. God loved it. God is a God of vengeance, we're told in the New Testament. He's a God of vengeance. Is vengeance a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing. Vengeance is a good thing. Is it good or bad to desire good things? It's good. On Judgment Day, how about this? Does the Bible say that the righteous rejoice when they see the vengeance? Does it say that, or did I just make that verse up? The righteous rejoice when they see the vengeance. God is a God of vengeance. He's a God of war, and he goes to war against his enemies, and he will destroy the wicked, and he'll judge them and send them to hell. That's tough. But if somebody was hurting one of my children and they were not repentant and they wouldn't stop, I'd send them to hell if I had the ability. And you know what? I will have the ability, because God is going to give to me, to Bob Enyart, and to you, if you're a Christian, he's going to give us the ability, the authority to judge the wicked and to send them to hell. That's going to be my job. And your job if you don't blow it. Now, who's going to judge on Judgment Day? God or us? Who's going to judge, God or us? Well, God is the judge who commits judgment into the hands of his saints. He delegates judgment to us. Paul says to the Corinthians, could I paraphrase for a moment? He says, hey, you losers, will you start judging, please? Don't you know that we saints will judge the world? Don't you know that we will judge the angels? And there's not a man among you who can judge the simplest things. Start judging. You can read that in 1 Corinthians. Start judging. They were allowing a man who was having relations with his father's wife, his stepmother. They were tolerating such a man and not judging him. Paul was disgusted with them. And he said, can't you even judge the least things? Don't you know we Christians will judge the world? Didn't Jesus say that the men of Nineveh, remember they're the ones who repented, the men of Nineveh will rise and judge those of Christ's generation in Israel 2,000 years ago. Yeah, men judging men. Hey, there's a lot more where that came from. This is commercial break. Bob Enyart here. Hey, if you're interested in any of those topics, you can call us up and order Nicer Than God. Nicer Than God. You can either get the album for, I think it's $29.95. And by the way, all our album prices have been reduced from their introductory prices. And they're all substantially lower than they were. And we raised the plot back up to its introductory price of $49.95, the plot manuscript, but we don't have any immediate plans to do that with the albums. So the Nicer Than God album for $29.95, six tapes, that deals with so many of these issues. It's really fun and interesting. And again, money back guarantee. If you don't enjoy it and learn a lot, and you're the judge of that. So if you get Nicer Than God album by calling 1-888-836-9278, You could call it right now. If we don't answer the phone, leave a message. Say, I want to order Nicer Than God. If you want, leave all your information, credit card number, expiration date. We'll just mail it out to you. Or leave your number. We'll call you back. You know, if you're an extrovert and you want to chat, leave your number. If you're an introvert and you love answering machines, then just leave all your information. And we'll send you an album, and you don't even have to speak to a human being. Wouldn't that be perfect? So you get Nicer Than God album, which will go into detail with some of the things we're talking about now. And if you knew all of it before you got the album, or you disagreed with it, or you just didn't like it, or you think it's poor quality information, then get your money back. That's it. But we hope that you love it, because there's so much richness in the Bible that the Christian church has pretty much become blinded to because of all the Hillary cliches, like don't judge and you have to forgive, right? Hillary cliches. The things that Hillary believes about the Bible have become pretty much the only things that Christians are willing to say about the Bible. Now, that's a slight exaggeration, but you get the drift. All right, so our number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-836-9278. Some of the things we're talking about God being a God of vengeance and wrath and terror, and whether you should forgive all the time or whether you can judge, and things like the death penalty and self-defense and war. We cover a lot of these issues in an album called Nicer Than God, 6-tape audio album. If you're interested in these things, you can call us up and order it. And, you know, the Bible is so rich. It's so full of so many neat things. But because the Christian church has been blinded by Hillary's cliches, you know, Hillary's favorite verses have become the favorite verses of the church. It used to be John 3:16 was the most often quoted verse. John 3:16, and only two verses later is John 3:18, where Jesus said, if you don't believe in the Son of God, you are condemned. The church isn't comfortable getting within a chapter of that verse any time in the near future. They forget that. But now they'll only quote from the Sermon on the Mount nowadays. And judge not, Matthew 6:1, that's it. Not even the rest of the paragraph where Jesus said, you better judge, just first don't be a hypocrite. Don't judge, you hypocrite. First stop doing the same thing and then judge. Because if your neighbor is an atheist and you don't judge that he's wrong, you're not going to be able to help him. Or if your neighbor is a fornicator or a pothead and you don't judge that he's wrong, you're not going to be able to help him. So when in Revelation 6:10, when the Christians who went to heaven because they were killed, and the book of Revelation predicts what they're going to say, that they're going to cry out, how long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? A Mennonite Christian doesn't understand that vengeance is good. Vengeance is a godly attribute. But the way God has set up the authority structure, he has not given us the authority as individuals to exact vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. So give place to wrath. And the place for wrath is, as Paul says, and the things I'm saying are coming out from Romans 12 and 13. That's where we read these things. And then Paul says, give place to wrath, for the governing officials are God's ministers, avengers, to bring vengeance, wrath, and terror against the criminal, to execute them with the sword. So yeah, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and he delegates vengeance and the authority to execute criminals to governing officials. It's all pretty straightforward. In the places where Jesus says, don't judge, you got to look at it in context. He says, don't judge, you hypocrite. First stop doing the same thing and then judge. And when he says, forgive, you got to take it in context. He says, if someone sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Otherwise, you're teaching the wicked that repentance is unnecessary. Forgiveness is automatic. And anybody who takes that lesson from you, they're going to go to hell, and it's going to be partly your fault. Let's go to the phone in Michigan. Robert, speak your mind.
Yes, sir. I've got a question concerning speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
I've got a friend of mine. We keep debating back and forth, I don't really know what to say to him.
All right.
I don't believe that it's necessary.
Hey, Robert, I want you to ask your question, and then after you do, I'll tell you our 10-year policy on certain doctrinal issues. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, I don't believe it's necessary in order to speak in tongues in order to go. And she does, and I was kind of curious what you think, you know, about that.
All right.
And how I could approach her about that.
All right. I'll tell you our 10-year our policy on certain doctrinal issues. Bob and Yurt Live, the goal of the show is to reach out mostly to unbelievers and to get them saved.
I see.
And when we were on, for example, LaCie Broadcasting, we were on TV in about 80 cities. And that whole network and the affiliate networks we were also on, they're charismatic networks and they all teach speaking in tongues and all. And when LaCie funded some market research with a mainstream marketing research firm, and they did focus groups and surveys, and they found out that 7 out of 8 of the audience members of Bob and Yurt Live listen to no other Christian radio or watch no other Christian TV. And so we were successful in bringing in new people to Christian broadcasting. 7 out of 8, that was pretty awesome. They were they were absolutely blown away by that statistic. And they spent about $15,000 on this market research. So they made a reasonable effort to find out who was in the audience. And here's what we figured out over 10 years ago. If we tackle doctrinal issues that divide Christians and that Christians alone debate, then for one, those doctrinal issues take hours and hours to talk through. And there's no better way to get rid of all the unbelievers in your audience than to debate speaking in tongues and whether you could lose your salvation.
I agree with you.
But but the real Bob Enyart, not the talk show host Bob Enyart, my ultimate passion in life is to learn about God through his word, the Bible, and to teach the Bible. And we do seminars, and I've been in a lot of debates on topics like you just brought up. So we have a ton of material that cover that topic. And so many other topics like the Sabbath and the dietary law and can you lose your salvation and the tribulation, the rapture and predestination and free will. But we avoid them on the air like the plague. But then off the air, we offer them to people. And if they order an album like on speaking in tongues and they don't like it, we have a money back guarantee. But Robert, so we recommend the plot manuscript. It's a book I wrote on an overview of the whole Bible, and we deal with the issue of speaking in tongues. It's a 320-page unpublished manuscript. So we got that, and we have the same things in audio tape albums. So I'd like to leave it at that, if you don't mind.
No, that's perfectly fine. I appreciate your thoughts on that.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope it goes well for you.
Keep up the blessed work.
All right. God bless you, Robert. Nice guy. Nice guy. He didn't get mad at me. Now, some people have gotten mad at me over the years for that stand, but it's worked. It's generally worked. And, you know, when you become a Christian, usually you get saved, you go to this Bible church, some kind of church, and you jump right in to the debates. Well, Is there a rapture before or after the tribulation or during? Or do you have to speak in tongues? Or can you lose your salvation? Or do you need to be baptized? Or if so, with what words being said? Or immersed or sprinkled? Or whatever. Take baptism, for example. Baptism has divided more Christians through more centuries than any other issue. Baptism. Baptism. How long does it take out of a human being's life to be baptized? Is it about 3 minutes? Say, if you believe in sprinkling, it's maybe a minute. If you believe in immersion, it's maybe 3 minutes, and then you got to dry off. So it's a few minutes out of your life, a life of 80 years. And something that takes a few minutes, and it's covered in a few verses in the entire Bible. I mean, are there 1,189 verses in the Bible about baptism? Are there that many verses? 1,189 verses? No, there's not. There's 1,189 chapters in the Bible. So is there 189 verses in the Bible about baptism? No, there's not. Are there 89 verses in the Bible about baptism? No, there's not. Baptism is a very important topic, but it's covered in what? 0.1% of the text in the Bible? And it's the issue that has divided most of the denominations that have been divided over baptism. So you have Baptists who say you got to be immersed. And you've got Methodists and Lutherans who say you got to be sprinkled when you're a baby. And Roman Catholics and baptism, you had the Anabaptists. And baptism, and whether it's baptized in water or baptized in the Spirit or two baptisms or one baptism or baptized in the name of Jesus only or baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And so every aspect of baptism has divided believers. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be collectively ashamed about that because Christ prayed that there would be unity among his followers. And we divide throughout our entire Christian lives over issues that take seconds out of 80 years. Seconds. Paul said, you know what Paul said about baptism? He said, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you guys because all the division that comes from this, and then you'd say, I'm of Paul. He said, I didn't baptize any of you guys in Corinth. Oh, yeah, a long time ago, I baptized a few of you, and that was it. And he said, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So anyway, that's really different from what Jesus said to the 12 apostles. But anyway, Christians get saved, they go to church, and they dive headfirst into some doctrinal debate as though they're going to be experts on prophecy in the rapture or the sign gifts, speaking in tongues or baptism even or keeping the Sabbath or whatever. And they're not experts. Out of a huge Bible, they go to about 8 verses and they try to figure out how they fit in the big picture. You can't do it. You can't do it. The way to do it is to first become proficient of the overview of the whole Bible. First, you get the overview, the plot of the Bible, then you get the details. That's why we sell this manuscript called The Plot. If you're interested in that, call us at 1-888-836-9278. This is Bob Benyert reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.